Now from the KSFR Newsroom, At Noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Monday, November 18th.
Voters go to the polls in Albuquerque tomorrow to decide both a city council runoff race and a special election on late-term abortions. In last month's regular city elections, no candidate for the District 7 city council seat received the newly mandated 50% of the vote, forcing the Albuquerque runoff. Tomorrow's race between Democratic challenger Diane Gibson and Republican incumbent Janice Arnold-Jones will determine the majority party affiliation for the council, which is officially a nonpartisan body. Also for voters to decide is a controversial measure that would ban abortion procedures in the Duke City after 20 weeks of gestation. Similar restrictions in other cities and states have been deemed unconstitutional. The Albuquerque School Board meets later today to decide whether to extend Superintendent Winston Brooks' contract. Brooks has recently found himself in the center of criticism after tweeting insulting remarks about State Education Chief Hannah Scandera. And last week, Brooks made a 911 call that seemed to indicate a domestic dispute with his wife that turned out to be a medical emergency. Brooks's current contract with APS expires in June 2016. Concerned about the future of the lottery scholarship, New Mexico State University officials say the school will cover up to 60% of spring semester tuition for its scholarship students if a funding shortfall isn't remedied by state lawmakers next year. NMSU Vice President Bernadette Montoya says NMSU is stepping up financially because time is running out.
We're still waiting on a response or some guidance from the Higher Education Department. In the meantime, we began registration for the spring semester last week, and we were concerned. Our students were already coming to us saying, what's going to happen?
Montoya says NMSU could end up with a shortfall if the lottery scholarship isn't funded. High demand has nearly drained it. 14,000 students at New Mexico higher education institutions rely on the scholarship to cover tuition. A Democratic member of the Legislative Behavioral Health Subcommittee is drawing attention to what he calls the lack of due process in the ongoing Medicaid fraud investigation into 15 of New Mexico's largest mental health providers. Senator Bill O'Neill notes the implicated firms haven't had the chance to see what they're charged with and told KSFR.
There's a lot of, I would say, bipartisan concern, if not anger. And, of course, we as Democrats are the outspoken ones. But privately, my Republican friends pull me aside and say this is just a mess.
O'Neill says mental health services are tenuous by their nature, and the transition of providers has disrupted services for an entire vulnerable population. Governor Susana Martinez's administration says it'll move forward with implementation of its teacher evaluation system, despite opposition from some teachers and Democratic lawmakers. Two state senators had asked Public Education Secretary-designate Hannah Scandera last week for more time to acclimate to the new rating system. However, the New Mexican reports the administration signaled it's not compromising. Some 18,000 teachers statewide will be affected. Senator Martin Heinrich has announced that the prestigious Massachusetts Institute of Technology is being commissioned to study the potential effects of the proposed SunZia transmission line on White Sands Missile Range. Heinrich says MIT will research and identify measures that will allow for White Sands' missions to continue and for construction of the 515-mile transmission line to move forward. The missile range has said that the currently proposed route would hamper its operations and has asked for it to be rerouted. SunZia managers say that would effectively kill the project, expected to be delivering wind and solar-generated electricity to Western markets by 2017. Cutting pollution caused when storm water runoff carries chemicals and sediment into rivers and streams is the purpose of a U.S. Senate bill sponsored by Senator Tom Udall. The New Mexico Democrat says stormwater runoff is a leading cause of water pollution nationwide. Udall's legislation would promote the use of innovative and economic approaches to managing and reducing such pollution. The bill establishes research and development centers to develop means of controlling and managing stormwater runoff. Celebrating and encouraging Santa Fe area small businesses is the focus of Global Entrepreneurship Week, which is being celebrated through Friday by the Santa Fe Business Incubator. Marie Longseer is president and CEO of the nonprofit that has been assisting area small businesses since the late 90s.
We are going to host a series of workshops, seminars, open house, a variety of things so that different people who may not be familiar with us or people who are can take advantage of some of the services and come visit.
Longseer says the Santa Fe Business Incubator provides a professional startup place for businesses to launch their efforts. Weather for Santa Fe, mostly sunny today through Wednesday with highs in the mid-50s and overnight lows in the low 30s. For KSFR, I'm Tom Tropridge.
And taking a look at Wall Street at midday, a bit of a mixed market for the major indices. However, the Dow has risen above 16,000 for the first time. It's currently up 15 points at 16,011. The NASDAQ is off too. It stands at 3,983. The S&P 500 also reached new territory today, climbing above 1,800. It has fallen back somewhat. It's currently up 1 point and stands at 1,799. At noon on KSFR, we'll continue in just a moment.
Support comes from New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, where the more you participate in your not-for-profit financial cooperative, the more money you earn. For details on Earn Your Return, go to nmefcu.org or visit their branch on St. Michael's Drive.
13 minutes past the hour, as At Noon now segues to today's feature stories. New Mexico State University officials have announced that the school will fund up to 60% of spring semester tuition for its lottery scholarship students if no funding fix is found soon. NMSU Vice President Bernadette Montoya says registration for spring semester has begun, and the Las Cruces school still doesn't know if the scholarship will continue to be funded, or if so, at what level.
We're still waiting on a response or some guidance from the Higher Education Department. In the meantime, we began registration for the spring semester last week, and this is system-wide. So we also have four community colleges that are affected by this as well. And we were concerned. Our students were already coming to us saying, what's going to happen? I don't know what to do. I have decisions to make.
Montoya says NMSU staff was also unsure about the future of the program, prompting the university's funding commitment announced late last week.
We felt that uncertainty as well and had some anxiety about that. And so the decision was made at the highest administrative levels, including our Board of Regents Chair Mike Cheney, to guarantee, to commit to our students affected by lottery, which for New Mexico State University is a little over 4,000 students altogether, that we were going to guarantee that up to 60% of their tuition would be funded and guaranteed for the spring semester.
Montoya says the school has run the numbers and understands that if the nearly empty lottery scholarship fund isn't funded, it could be deep in the hole, depending on how much funding is eventually provided.
That can range anywhere from a couple of million dollars to several million, you know, 8 or 9 million. We've run the numbers and looked at the guesstimates. Again, it just depends on the percentage that they may or may not fund it at. But we couldn't leave students in limbo. We are a caring community, and we want to ensure that our students, as I said earlier, are able to move forward into yet another semester, advancing them toward completion of their degree, which is what all institutions of higher ed want to do. That is, we want to get them to cross that finish line.
The offer of funding NMSU lottery scholarship students, concedes Montoya, puts the university at risk.
I realize the legislature has a tough decision to make ahead of them. Many of them are very, very passionate about education, higher education in particular, and for that we're grateful. We know they will make the right decisions going forward. But we have the short-term issue about the spring semester facing us, and that's why the decision was made. We will yet again have decisions facing us at the end of the legislative session, or at which time there is a decision made on what to do going forward for next year.
New Mexico State University Vice President Bernadette Montoya speaking with KSFR. At noon, we'll continue in just a moment.
The Santa Fe Art Institute presents SFAI 140. One evening, 20 inspiring talks, 140 seconds each. Join SFAI for an evening of creativity and conversations, November 21st, 7 p.m. Learn more at sfai.org or call 424-5050. A message from the tax-exempt Santa Fe Art Institute.
Celebrating and encouraging Santa Fe area small businesses is the focus of Global Entrepreneurship Week, which is being celebrated through Friday by the Santa Fe Business Incubator. Marie Longsayre is president and CEO of the nonprofit that has been assisting small area businesses since the mid-1990s.
Well, Global Entrepreneurship Week started a few years ago, and the Kauffman Foundation, which is the major national and international foundation focusing on entrepreneurship and business startups, has been the main driver and supporter. And I just read that three more countries were added, and this year Global Entrepreneurship Week will be celebrated with activities and events in 140 countries.
Longsayre says the incubator operates out of a 30,000-square-foot building off Airport Road here in Santa Fe,
where we house and support and assist startup companies and businesses. We have a meager staff of four, but a lot of wonderful volunteers, advisors, mentors, board members. We are funded primarily by rents and fees from the program, but also by an economic development contract from the City of Santa Fe.
Longsayre says the Santa Fe Business Incubator is marking Global Entrepreneurship Week with a number of seminars of interest to local business owners, covering topics including legal issues for businesses and information for creative and arts-related startups. And Longsayre says the incubator is hosting an open house this Thursday afternoon starting at 3 p.m.
We want people who have businesses to come out and use the resource open house and people who are thinking about one. We primarily work with startups and people who have a small business. Maybe it's in an early stage in their home or an idea that they have. And when they're ready to launch and have a place, we provide equipment, conference and meeting rooms, a professional place to launch a business, as well as coaching, business mentoring, training, seminars, workshops, connections to capital, connections to media. It goes on and on and on.
Longsayre says Thursday's open house will allow attendees a sneak peek at a new bioscience laboratory.
It was funded by the Economic Development Administration of the U.S. Department of Commerce, and they put in over $1 million to help us design and lay out a beautiful laboratory with equipment for all of the life science companies, pharmaceutical, biomedical, device companies that we've seen quite a few of in recent years coming out of our national laboratories and universities. And these technologies are being commercialized, and we have this fantastic new lab. It will open soon, and so people can kind of take a look at that while they're there.
Marie Longsayre of the Santa Fe Business Incubator.
Support comes from MexicanWolves.org, inviting the public to attend a sidewalk rally and public hearing on proposals that will help decide the fate of the endangered Mexican wolf in America's Southwest. This Wednesday, November 20th, at the Embassy Suites Hotel on Woodward Place Northeast in Albuquerque. For more information about Wednesday's rally, the public hearing, and related events taking place that day, visit MexicanWolves.org. That's MexicanWolves.org.
20 minutes past the hour as At Noon on KSFR continues. The international goodwill and philanthropy of Doctors Without Borders is well known. A special screening of a film about the organization will take place tomorrow evening at the Jean Cocteau Cinema here in Santa Fe. A similar event is planned for Albuquerque on Wednesday. Here with more on the topic is KSFR's Joe Day.
I'm Joe Day. All of us are aware as we can be from news reports, of the unimaginable destruction and death wrought by the typhoon Haiyan as it swept through the Philippines. Whole communities flattened, people without food or water, thousands dead. Many relief organizations have been among those trying to help in these matters of life and death. One of them is Doctors Without Borders, an international medical aid group more than 40 years old, which has worked in many areas of armed conflict in addition to natural disasters. As it happens, members of the group will be in Santa Fe tomorrow night to introduce the organization and to present a film on its work narrated by the actor Daniel Day-Lewis. It tells the story of the group's work in dangerous war zones. But now, of course, much of its focus is on the Philippines. Here is a recent report from the area.
We have been experiencing challenges in reaching the most affected communities, logistic challenges mainly, and it's not just us, I think. I think it's just so huge that everybody's doing their best, but everybody's having a hard time. And also the geography of this place, it's all little islands. And it's really the hardest place to be able to move around. Things are starting to move. Luckily, you know, the airstrips, means of transportation are opening. So we're there. We're seeing what's happening. It is what we were afraid of. But now we're more worried about the communities that are farther away. I think now aid is reaching the communities near the airstrips, near the ports, where ferries are arriving. But like I said, it's a whole bunch of islands. You have all these little communities that are not reached yet.
Doctors Without Borders reports that as of yesterday, 152 staff members, physicians, nurses, and others, were working in the Philippines. They are performing services including surgery, obstetrics and gynecology, delivery of babies, x-rays, blood banks, and psychological care. In one community of 55,000, the 70-bed hospital was completely destroyed, and almost 100% of the houses are damaged or destroyed. Hundreds of tons of supplies, medical equipment, hygiene kits, shelters, have been flown in, and more are expected. The Santa Fe event and others like it in Albuquerque and Tucson Wednesday and Thursday were planned before the typhoon hit the Philippines. They are not billed as fundraising events, and I'm told donations will not be solicited. But obviously the group is seeking support, financial and otherwise, for the long term. The screening of the film will be at 6:30 tomorrow evening at the Jean Cocteau Theater on Montezuma, downtown. More information is available on the website doctorswithoutborders.org. For KSFR News, this is Joe Day reporting.
The Lenzic proudly presents Mike Daisy and his new monologue, The Secret War, November 21st and 23rd. The writer and actor the New York Times calls a worthy successor to Spalding Gray now explores the power of secrets and how government secrecy affects our relationship with war. For tickets to Mike Daisy, The Secret War, November 21st and 23rd, call 988-1234 or visit TicketSantaFe.org. The Lenzic is a nonprofit, member-supported organization.
25 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. A Democratic member of the legislature's Behavioral Health Subcommittee wants to ensure there's no repeat of what has occurred in the past several months to both providers and recipients of Medicaid-funded services in New Mexico. Rejoining us now here at the news desk is KSFR's Tom Trowbridge. And Tom, you spoke with State Senator Bill O'Neill over the weekend, correct?
That's right, Dan. And Senator O'Neill's calling attention to the lack of due process in the investigation. An audit that led to the probe of 15 New Mexico mental health providers hasn't been released yet, something the Bernalillo County Democrat says is wrong.
And the whole point of an audit is to enable the business involved to deliver its services better. I mean, for a brief stint, 3 years, I was the head of a small state agency, and every year we would be audited by the state auditor. And the whole point was that we could learn from the experience what were we not doing correctly, and there was what's called an exit interview, which I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with. This is just standard business practice, right? But in this case, these 15 providers were not given the courtesy, the right, the prerogative of knowing what the findings, what kind of findings they came up with.
O'Neill says he took issue with Governor Martinez's comments when news of the investigation broke that there would be a seamless transition between the now displaced New Mexico providers to firms from Arizona.
And I'm thinking to myself, A, does she have any idea how tenuous mental health services are by their very nature? We're talking about therapists building up trust with traumatized kids or any of a range of clients. And B, that's just not going to happen. And so, you know, what they decided to do was bring in these out-of-state companies and again, not give any of these providers a chance to see what the issues, you know, were at the time and still are. We still don't know what they are.
O'Neill says there was a similar situation in the state of North Carolina, with one exception.
There's an analogy to the situation in North Carolina. Very similar. Same auditing firm, the PCG out of Boston. All of the agencies involved were given the chance to see the findings and respond in kind. And North Carolina did not witness this dismantling of their behavioral health system that we have seen here in New Mexico.
The impact to people in need of services, says O'Neill, has been severe.
We have, both anecdotally and in a quantifiable way, heard over and over again about people who haven't been receiving services, where their services have been disrupted. We had a gentleman appear before our behavioral health subcommittee in Santa Fe just a couple weeks ago, and he has two autistic kids, and they are not getting services.
O'Neill says the investigation into New Mexico mental health providers and subsequent transition to Arizona firms has caused concern among legislators of both parties. He says he's hoping to know more details about the probe following a meeting on December 11th in Santa Fe.
And that's when HSD and the elusive Secretary Squire will actually show up and present their budget to the LFC. And that's where we as a legislature have our power. It's the power of the purse. And there's a lot of bipartisan concern, if not anger. And, of course, we as Democrats are the outspoken ones. But privately, my Republican friends pull me aside and say this is just a mess.
In the meantime, O'Neill has words of advice for those upset with what has happened to New Mexico behavioral health providers, many of whom are now out of business as a result.
And that's when HSD and the elusive Secretary Squire will actually show up and present their budget to the LFC. And that's where we as a legislature have our power. It's the power of the purse. And there's a lot of bipartisan concern, if not anger. And, of course, we as Democrats are the outspoken ones. But privately, my Republican friends pull me aside and say this is just a mess.
For KSFR, I'm Tom Trowbridge.
29 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. The Santa Fe Film Festival is gearing up for its spring event. Right now, potential filmmakers can get involved and have a chance of winning a prize that includes the opportunity to produce and direct a project which will be shown at the festival. Here with the story is KSFR News reporter Charles Maynard.
For a number of years, there's been a film festival in Santa Fe. The dates for this year's festival are a bit different than previous years, but there are some exciting ways potential writers, producers, and directors can get involved and perhaps win prize money and have the chance to make a film of their own. Nani Rivera is the director of the Santa Fe Film Festival.
The Santa Fe Film Festival has been going for 14 years. For most of its life, it was in December, but this year we are going to be having the actual festival in May, and what we're doing in December now is we're going to be hosting an ode to the local film industry, and we've created the Santa Fe Film Festival annual tune-up, which will be a series of panels and workshops for industry professionals and those aspiring to be in the industry.
Submissions are being taken now for completed films for the event. They are also being accepted for a trailer for a pilot project. The lucky winner will then have the opportunity to actually produce and direct that pilot using professional equipment and crew members.
Well, there's two types of submissions that people can do right now. One is for the festival in May, and we're accepting submissions through Without a Box. And the other is for our Shoot Santa Fe pilot project contest, which is for a trailer contest where the winner would receive a package of $25,000 worth of goods and cash to create a pilot, which will air in the Santa Fe Film Festival in May. And it'll also air on Santa Fe's TV station on Channel 28. And what we're hoping for is that this would continue to be an ongoing series, which the city will support. And the Santa Fe Film Festival and the IATSE Local 480 will support in moving forward. So you would create a 60 to 90 second trailer based off of a pilot idea. And then in December, we'll have an award ceremony who will determine to be the winner of that trailer, and then they get the prize to actually create the pilot.
There is a small fee for entering the contest. All proceeds go towards supporting the film festival. For more information, visit their website.
It's SantaFeFilmFestival.com.
Nani Rivera of the Santa Fe Film Festival.
I would like to invite the listeners to volunteer or become a sponsor. We have opportunities for volunteers. We already have several volunteers already working very hard in the office and around town, and there's more positions available. So if anyone's interested in participating with the Santa Fe Film Festival, to go ahead and give us a call. Brandon Brady is our volunteer coordinator.
The phone number to call is 988-7414. That's 988-7414. For KSFR News, this is Charles Maynard.
12:33 here in the KSFR Newsroom, just past the bottom of the hour, and once again, the perfect opportunity to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
Perhaps I've mentioned this before, but I love bread. To me, the best toasting bread in the world is from Whole Foods. It's called, and I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, Mini Boule. The price for the mini boule varies from 99 cents to 129. I love it. Mostly it's the higher cost. Now, I feel sorry for you if you are gluten intolerant. But I don't really understand gluten. To me, gluten sounds like something that gets stuck somewhere. Like, why are you late? My car got stuck in some gluten. Or, don't fire until you see the gluten in their eyes. Give me gluten or give me death. I understand allergies. I have allergies of my own, like cats, blooming chamisa, juniper, whatever. But I'm going to have to cut this short now. I'm going to the gym and exercise my glutens. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we conclude today's edition of At Noon. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with many thanks to my contributing colleagues today, Tom Trowbridge, Charles Maynard, and Joe Day. We'll be back with more news of and for New Mexico for you tomorrow. And as always, we hope you join us.